If you've been paying attention to the gospel readings that we have been sharing here in worship the last several weeks, you've noticed that the Gospel of Luke is not tame. Jesus says some pretty hard things in our gospel. A couple of weeks ago, we reflected on what Jesus could have possibly meant when he said that he came not to unite, but to divide households 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, son against father. I talked then about how Jesus' claim that following him would divide families, how that could give courage to people whose families were close-minded or unhealthy, about how division in a family can be good news if that means spiritual freedom from oppressive relationships. Today's gospel goes even farther. In addition to dividing families, Jesus now says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Today's gospel tells us that following Jesus won't just mean division in our households. It says that we can't be Jesus' disciple without hating our families, hating our mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers. Jesus is encouraging hate? There has to be something more going on here. Much of the scholarly work that has been done on this passage in the last 100 years has focused on the meaning of the word hate in this passage. You see, the Greek word for hate that is used here is missio, which means to love someone or something less than something else, i.e. to renounce one choice in favor of another. With this in mind, Jesus is saying, whoever comes to me and does not love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, less than they love me, cannot be my disciple. In order to be Jesus' disciple, we need to choose Jesus over everything, even our most intimate, most cherished, most nourishing relationships. Jesus, who he is, his values, his priorities, aligning ourselves with him, needs to be what we do. Jesus needs to rank above all else. All else. And so our gospel today begs the question, how do we rank things? How do we rank? So often today, we put our families and our primary relationships first. Now, I'm not talking about families who prioritize soccer or pancakes or bike rides over being here on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about how so often today, we lift up family values over the values of Jesus. I think of so many news stories of parents defending their children even when the child has done something grievously wrong, or stories of people supporting their spouse's career despite corrupt business practices. Today's gospel tells us that Jesus needs to rank above these, and his ways and his priorities need to be our first priorities. Our gospel today tells us that we need to be even more faithful to Jesus and who he was and what he was about than we are to our families. Some say that engaging this nuance of the definition of the Greek word missio, that word for hate, some say that engaging this nuance is a modern attempt to water down the gospel, to make it more palatable. But I think that ranking Jesus over our families, I think that's a lot harder than hating them. Think about it. Hatred, disdain, loathing, detesting, those things come pretty easily, don't they? They come quickly. I don't have to work at that. Most often, hatred reinforces what we already believe. And hatred is often misplaced. It usually serves us, allowing us to feel righteous and see others as less informed, less enlightened, less deserving, less worthy. Jesus is not telling us to revile our families, not telling us to look down on them. He's telling us that we need to have enough cognitive distance from them to be able to see them and our relationships with them honestly, and to be able to judge when our family's priorities might not be God's priorities. The next verse, after Jesus tells us to hate our families, is to take up our cross and follow him. He couldn't give us a little cushion there? Two very hard verses in a row. In that verse, where we're told to take up our cross, we have that phrase that is used so often by so many. I don't hear it as much at this church as I do in some, but that idea of taking up our cross, or that something is my cross to bear, is a very common phrase among believers. But the common usage of this phrase usually ends up being that I'm carrying some sort of burden, that whether it's a health concern or a issue with families, that I have this burden that I am carrying, that I feel that I don't necessarily deserve. And that usage, again, falls woefully short of what Jesus is talking about here. Bruce Epperly is a process theologian who's on staff right now at the Lancaster Theological Seminary. He says it this way: we need to count the cost of discipleship and be willing to sacrifice our own comfort to follow the way of the cross. Earth care and justice seeking can't occur from an armchair. We need to be willing to sacrifice so that others might live. The realm of God requires a changed lifestyle. Although grace and joy abound, they will be found when we let go of ownership and place ourselves at God's disposal. Nicole Torbitsky of the University of Laverne breaks open the idea of taking up our cross in this way. She says, Jesus has told the crowd that he's looking for followers who are willing to sacrifice and subvert what we would normally consider good Christian family-first values. Hard work at one's socially contributing occupation and personal safety are not taking up our crosses. The call is no different to us than it was in Jesus' time. He's not calling us to value what mainstream Christianity values today: family, hard work, security, the American dream. He's calling us to give up all of that and follow him. great light Labor Day sermon, huh? This is heavy stuff. It's hard to follow. But then I think of two people at the top of our news feeds today, Colin Kaepernick and St. Teresa of Calcutta. Never thought you'd hear those two names in the same sentence, did you? Whether you agree with his politics and his behavior or not, Kaepernick gives us an example of ranking value over maintaining social acceptability. He has something that he feels powerfully about, and instead of maintaining the status quo, he's doing something. And whether you've made a sacrifice because of following Jesus or not, St. Teresa of Calcutta shows us that this isn't some pie in the sky idea. We can. In fact, God demands that we make sacrifices so that this world is more like the kingdom of God for those in need. That is our God's demand on us. It's interesting that the context of our reading for today is amidst a large crowd. It's almost as if every once in a while Jesus peppers in these hard sayings so as to thin out the people who are following him. A lot of people walk away after this. A lot of people say, this is too much for me. But we do not need to lose heart ourselves, even if we find what Jesus was saying today to be hard. To all of us who may be tempted to walk away because Jesus' demands are just too steep, Torbitsky, who I quoted earlier, reminds us, we might not have what it takes right now to hate those we love, give up our possessions, and take up our cross. But God is working in us and with us. Each new moment is a new opportunity to respond to Jesus' call to discipleship. We are the choices we make. But we don't make those choices alone. That same God who is working in us and with us is also working through us and will give us the strength we need to follow the call. Friends, may we all pray for that strength for each other and for ourselves. Amen.